Episode 324, October 2nd, 2017.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
This is the Rob and Joe Show.
The Dave Chappelle and Louis C.K. of Fire Hall Comedy.
The Rob and Joe Show.
This is the racist Rob and racist Joe Show.
Some of their best friends are black.
The Rob and Joe Show, my two favorite guys.
You're listening to the Rob and Joe Show.
Come on, everybody, let's get to the brainstorming.
I worked with Rob and Joe before, and they do an amazing job.
Go back on that Rob and Joe Show.
The Rob and Joe Show.
With a combined 73 firings, if you count marriages in the Baltimore Comedy Factory, here's Rob Mayer and Joe Robinson.
This week, Rob, Joe, Robbie, and Marcus Serta, four guys in four different locations. The worst possible way to do a podcast, and that's how we do it. Welcome to the Rob and Joe Show. Robbie, thanks for joining us this week. I'm glad that you weren't too busy to hang out with us.
Thanks.
He's just hitting buttons. I know in the beginning of the show, he's always doing something. Nobody knows what, but...
But you always ask him a question anyway.
I know.
It reminds me of, you ever watch the movie, clearly, you have Major League, when Bob Uecker's in there with the color commentator, he won't talk.
Yeah, that's one of my, I love that movie. So I want to go to Robbie, though, just to annoy him. But welcome to the show. It's a sad day. I mean, obviously, there's the Las Vegas tragedy. And then we lost, is it official yet? Tom Petty, is he officially dead?
It's official that we've lost him. Whether or not he's alive or not is beside the point. I think it's been confirmed that he's on life support with no brain activity. So, you know, even if they're able to keep him alive, he's whatever he was, he no longer is.
And that came out of nowhere, I mean, right? See, what is that? I don't understand the point of that.
Don't do that, Robbie.
What? But I don't even get what's the joke. I don't even.
It'd be one thing if somebody was in here laughing and then we could shit on them. But then they know that we're the ones playing that effect. So that only reflects poorly on us. Whatever. Doesn't matter. Well, so
if I may, because I went through this today. I was at the radio station. We got the news that Tom Petty had passed. I'm on, you know, Cool 105. It's a classic hit station. We play Tom Petty on a regular basis. So, of course, since we see it coming from what is supposedly a reputable news agency, CBS, and then we see it come across from another news agency, supposedly reputable, CNN, then we go on the air with it. And then we start with the Tom Petty songs back to back and sharing Tom Petty stories for... what, like 3 hours before we find out, oh, no, sorry, there's been a mistake. He actually is physically alive. He just might not be mentally there.
Yeah, I mean, you would still, if you had that information, you would still have probably acted the same way. I mean, this is not the direction I want to take this, but this idea of being first superseding good journalism, I think, is just a scourge on the entire news media. I fucking hate it. I can't tell you how much it bothers me that nobody is more worried about writing correct information than they are about getting it out there first. So you report on somebody's death, and then, by the way, those are things we're not even talking about 50 years ago. These are things 10 years ago you get fired for. You get fired for saying someone's dead when they're not.
Yeah.
Now, nobody cares. Nobody cares. I remember when the Maryland Terrapins were hiring Mark Turgeon as their coach. Somebody announced that, what's his first name? Miller, the coach of Arizona. Sean Miller. Sean. Yeah, Sean Miller was the coach. The guy from, not 106.7, 980. What's his name?
Kevin Sheehan.
That's it. Reported that he was the coach. It was wrong. You know what happened to him?
Nothing.
Nothing. Nothing happened.
You haven't gotten over that, by the way, because you brought that up to me several times.
Fucking hate it. I hate it. And not because, look, I'm perfectly happy with the Maryland Terrapins coach. I'm perfectly happy. I'm not bitter about not having him as a coach. I'm bitter about it not being important to get it right. Why don't we just announce that somebody died right now and get a headline?
Well, we live in a new age with Twitter and everybody's online constantly. You know, you see misleading headlines.
Yeah, but I hear what you're saying. Right, right.
But it's all under that umbrella of fucking crap. You know, I'm watching this Unabomber thing. I don't know if anybody saw it on Discovery, and now it's on Netflix.
Nope.
And I'm almost starting to agree with him, like his thoughts on technology and everything ruining us.
Well, even if you're right about that, that doesn't mean you kill people. But so, yeah.
No, I'm not agreeing with him that, you know, his actions, obviously.
Right.
But I'm saying,
I'm agreeing
credence.
With you.
Yeah.
In that I think about this about our current president. And I know I've said this. I'll say it one more time. If every single time somebody opens up their mouth, you disagree, you're the problem.
Yeah.
It's not them, it's you. If you never, ever agree with one thing somebody says, you're the one with the problem. So clearly, I mean, everybody, if somebody says it's warm out, it doesn't matter if they're Adolf Hitler. I mean, they're not, nobody's wrong 100% of the time. And one of the things about the tragedy, not the Tom Petty thing, but this Las Vegas thing is, I just cringe because everybody on social media is going to, they're not going to use this for good. They're going to use this as a platform. And of course, they'll defend it by saying, well, when else are we going to talk about it? Blah, 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 blah. But that's what it becomes. It becomes now, this is my time to speak whatever, you know, angle I have. And that's what we're going to see. And that's what we're going to read about. I saw, and again, I know I shouldn't be super critical of JL because I love him, but he immediately took a shot at Trump after this tragedy. And I'm like, God, I mean, dude. It's just, it makes me nuts. It does. It makes me nuts.
I feel like the Trump bashing, by the way, I mean, there's plenty of reasons to bash Trump. You don't have to seek it out. But you know the scene in Naked Gun where Leslie Nielsen is going undercover as the umpire?
Yes.
And he calls a strike and the crowd starts cheering. And then he starts to get into it and he starts calling them more demonstrably.
Yes.
And then he just starts calling them when their balls, calling them before the balls got there. I feel like that. Like on social media, like you just want to get likes and retweets. You just shit on Trump. And it doesn't matter. He could have said, you know, God bless the people. Fuck you. Tweet, motherfucker. And it's just ridiculous. It's lost every sense of anything. It makes no sense anymore.
But this one. Back to Tom Petty. This one made me particularly sad. And much the way that Glenn Frey made Robbie sad, because it definitely, you know, chronicled his life in some way, right? I mean, the Eagles, especially for Robbie. Sure. You know, I think about like my elementary school days and my middle school days, early middle school, that music was Kiss. And then I think a little bit later, probably Bob Seger, and then I guess my college years, the Smiths. But so I have a group, I guess, that kind of has some nostalgia from me over that time. But Tom Petty, after college, is really... Like when I listen to Pandora, I listen to Tom Petty radio. So that means that, you know, every third song I get to hear something by the great Tom Petty. And I just, I mean, I hear all these great stories about him, did you guys see that? You saw the, what's it called? The Defiant Ones. We were talking about that.
Right.
And how he really stood his ground in terms of the way the industry worked. And so he had a lot of integrity. And, you know, it probably cost him maybe some commercial success. But, you know, I mean, you think about the Traveling Wilburys. I mean, these are guys that got together and they said, these are the people that we want to be part of this group. And you have Tom Petty, George Harrison, Bob Dylan, Roy Orbison, Jeff Lynne from ELO. you know, I mean, they decided that these are the group of people that we want in this little, I guess, what's our word I'm looking for?
Supergroup.
Well, yeah, supergroup. Fraternity. That's right. Club is more what I'm looking for, right? And if you're a member of that, that means if you have the respect of the other four of those guys, I mean, that means something. And when you hear those songs, even the Traveling Wilburys songs, they sound like Tom Petty songs. Like, he had his stamp on that group more than anybody. They sound like Tom Petty songs.
Jeff Lynne produced a lot of Tom Petty's later records. So that's true. Well, you know, as much Jeff Lynne in there as there is Tom Petty.
You're right, but they were also writing partners, right? I mean, you know, I Won't Back Down.
Yes.
Both Jeff Lynne and Tom Petty wrote that song, and then when Sam Smith basically just lifted it, he lifted the song. And Tom Petty had talked about people lifting his songs, and he's like, I'm not going to sue people. I'm not going to. But in this case, it was so blatant. He literally just took the guy's song. So they didn't sue them. He went to him and goes, hey, make it fair. And they Jeff Lynne and Tom Petty got 25% of that song. And the sad thing is that song was a much bigger hit than I Won't Back Down, which is kind of hilarious because it was literally just taken directly from that. So
you're, you know, Robbie, obviously, Glenn Frey crushed him. Prince crushed me. Is this on that level, or is this like just one of your core guys?
It is on that level. Like I said, I mean, probably Seeger 1, Tom Petty 2, but it does. And I'll tell you why it affects me the most. I never saw him in concert. And we were going to go to New York, Katie and I, to go see him in this festival. And we had talked to people. Former show announcer Tim was supposed to go. My friend Erica, we were all supposed to go. And it kind of fell through, right? And then he was coming to town. He performed with the great Joe Walsh. So he's going to be here. This is about two or three months ago. I go, we'll just go see him there at the Royal Farms Arena, get an opportunity to see him. And I called Mike Anderson, 90 Rock, said, hey, can you get me tickets? He goes, yeah, I think I can. And then the last minute he said, I don't think I can do it. So we just bailed. And now I'll never see him. And so that really bums me out that he was one of my bucket list guys that I really wanted to see. And I never got a chance. But also I think about, we talked about this a lot, it is the end of, there's a era of music that doesn't exist anymore, and there really is no vehicle for it to exist. So if you are a great rock band, like if you're U2 or we talk about Springsteen, you're an arena band, right?
Right.
They're done. It's not built that way. There's no album rock anymore. There's no real medium for these groups to be played. So the giant rock, there's no Led Zeppelin anymore. Right. There's no Rolling Stones, except for the fact that the Rolling Stones still exist. But once they're gone, when we lose the Petties, when we lose the Seegers, when we lose the Eagles, when we lose Fogerty, eventually, when we lose these guys, they're gone. And there's nothing to replace them. Who's going to replace them? Mumford and Sons? I mean, it's over. This is over. It's never going to happen again. And I'm not one of these old guys that say, but back in my day, no, it's just the industry has changed to the point where this can no longer exist. It doesn't happen. If you want to, I mean, where do you go to see, if you want to see great rock and roll, or you want to listen to great rock and roll that's being produced today, you have to go to these obscure stations on Sirius, or you have to go to these college stations, or you have to do these things in order to get to them. But they're not there for us anymore. It just isn't.
Who in the 70s and 80s as a rock band could sell out arenas?
Well, back then, I mean, you're talking about back in the 70s, obviously all the big bands, right? The Who, they played Wembley. You know, you got the Stones, obviously the Beatles in the early 70s. You got
the Eagles.
Journey would sell out stadiums in the 80s.
Right, but you get into the 80s, U2, I mean, NXS could sell out arenas.
Yeah, you got even back like Fleetwood Mac and bands like that. I mean, there were huge bands, and I'm not necessarily talking, but then there were individuals, right? We talk about Bruce Springsteen. I mean, there are people, the Grateful Dead. I mean, people that had these followings.
But to the point I'm trying to make is today, not nostalgia acts, not Springsteen, not even U2, you know, not a Rolling Stones tour for the 100th time. Who is a semi-current band that's selling it, that sells out arenas? Foo Fighters?
Would the Foo Fighters sell out an arena? They are a rock band. They're the closest thing to describe what I just said. You said, oh, yeah, but they mostly play festivals, right? I mean,
no.
I've seen them.
No, they sold out Fenway. Yeah. They sold out Fenway for multiple nights. And they do lots of big stadium ballpark kind of, you know, on their tours, as well as other major venues. So, no, Foo Fighters can definitely sell out a stadium.
Well, that's easily. Good to hear. But you think about this. The Foo Fighters are like, oh, that's today's. Well, they've been around for 20 years, right?
Yeah, right.
You know, right. So that's the other thing. I mean, yes, you're right. But they also were pre whatever this is now.
Correct.
And, you know, I mean, I think about what's coming around the corner. Well, where is it going to come from? I don't know. It makes me a little bit sad because, you know, when I think about if I could only listen to one style of music, it'd probably be classic rock. It probably wouldn't be that for, you know, Marcus because he works at a classic rock station. He's probably sick of it. But, you know, I mean, if I'm going to just turn on something, you know, like I said, I go to my Pandora. I want to hear Tom Petty.
The thing about the bands today, too, though, the ones that are selling out the biggest arenas tend to be these entertainment acts, the Lady Gagas of the world who are just putting on these big Broadway shows along with, you know, their pop music. Outside of that, Bruce Springsteen is still doing a really good tour and selling lots of tickets. Otherwise, the rock and roll, the pop, you're right. I think all of that has diminished quite a bit over the years. Right now, the genre that is selling the most tickets is country.
Yeah, no, yeah. You're right. There are some big country stars, and also
and country,
you know, Justin
country
Timberlake.
Country fans still buy CDs.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is like Justin Timberlake, Beyonce, Lady Gaga. You're right; those guys are going to sell out huge venues. Again, it just makes me sad because if the Rolling Stones, if they formed today, we'd never know them.
You're right, but I mean, I feel like Lady Gaga is more of a throwback in terms of she's going to get up there and play piano, and I feel like, you know, it's not Taylor Swift. Sorry, Katie. It's a little more musicianship.
Oh, no, listen, I actually think there's some merit to Taylor Swift, Beyonce, Lady Gaga, Adele.
From a throwback standpoint, I mean, it seemed like everybody back in the day, like. You know, obviously, you know, Michael Jackson's not up there playing an instrument. But if you told me Michael Jackson's band was playing somewhere without Michael Jackson, you'd still want to go hear them. Because they're amazing.
I don't know that I agree with that. I don't know that I agree.
You wouldn't think that he is not hiring the world-class musicians?
No. You're right. I hear what you're saying. But I'm not positive I would go to that. But anyway, I guess it just makes me sad because I think about – I heard an interview with Robert Plant, and he's like, you know, why were you so successful? And he said it because we were in the exact right place at the exact right time. So there is a lot of that. There might be some bands that we didn't see because they were a generation behind. I mean, we don't know of their existence. That's a real thing. But it does make me sad when I think about the greatest rock and roll bands. But the Beatles would have been successful whenever they came out. They would have. They were very eclectic. They were played on pop stations. They were respected by all. But bands like Led Zeppelin, bands like the Stones, bands like the Who, you didn't hear them on Hits 109. You didn't hear it. They did that. They weren't played there. So if the Who put their first album out today, you never hear of one of the four greatest rock and roll bands in history. You never hear of them. I mean, nobody's worried by this? I am a little bit.
No, I
mean,
I hear you. You need to listen to the Zac Brown Band. It's a country band that plays pretty good music, Joe.
Well, I'm not acting like
they got more rock roots.
Yeah, I'm not acting like there aren't bands that I'm just saying. There, I work for a rock station.
They're not bands that are as successful doing that now as they used to be.
Yeah, because I hear they're still out there playing. I hear Shinedown. They're not the Stones. You understand? I hear Avenged Sevenfold. That ain't the Who. You know, Pete Townsend is not walking through that door.
I think the question is who's NXS, not who's the Hall of Fame band. Who's just a good band?
Right, and I hear what you're saying, but Marcus. Marcus, you said you do. Isn't there a adult alternative? Marcus couldn't name more two bands they play.
Yeah, I call it the Mumford and Sons station because they all sound exactly alike. It's ridiculous.
Sorry, Marcus.
No, it's fine. The thing about it is, honestly, as I continue to watch, and I'm looking at this analytically too, because you know my business is to sell ads, so I'm looking at the numbers and how these genres do year after year after year and season after season, and country just continues to grow, but it sounds like, and the DJs who are spinning it sound like 80s disc jockeys because it sounds like pop music.
Well, right. That's also what country music sounds like. It sounds like bad 80s pop.
And music naturally will evolve. And I totally get that. But I'm on the side with you, Joe, because honestly, you're right. I do like Shinedown. I do like Linkin Park. I do like some of the rock that's coming out, but it's diminished because there isn't the audience for it. That's the hard part. And nobody's showcasing it. There are very few rock stations out there that are playing active rock or album rock anymore of current music.
Well, album rock doesn't exist.
Yeah, that's no longer even a genre, yeah, is it?
There's no such a thing, which is, you know what? And again, I can't take my narrative and place it on today's consumer. I can't. So if that's not something that people want, then it would exist if people wanted it. But I'm telling you, and Robbie will agree with me, and maybe you guys will not, I can't remember a greater pleasure in my youth than opening up a new album and pulling out the sleeve and reading the liner notes and listen to a song front to back. I mean, listen to an album front to back. It really was, if I think about my youth, I mean, that those are defining moments. I remember my very first album, Kiss Alive 2. That was my first album. I remember when I came downstairs and my parents had given me Bob Seger, Nine Tonight. And that was sitting on the by the fireplace when I came down. Just these, yeah. Anyway, Frampton Comes Alive, the albums that really meant something to me when I was, I guess, discovering music. It's you can't have that when you download a song. You're never going to be able to get that back. You're never going to be able to find a deep cut because there's no such thing.
Well, just like album art. I mean, look at, if you go to iTunes and look at the current albums that are out there, they're pictures of the band or pictures of the artist. They don't do the album art that we used to do, because before, the excitement of popping that album out and putting it on your record player or however, whatever you're pulling out, you would look at the art that was on the cover. And then you would read through it. It was the best.
Yes, I remember getting the Rolling Stones' Some Girls. Do you guys know that album?
Yeah,
of course. Great album.
So, of course, the sleeve is, I guess the album art was on Andy Warhol. And you actually could change the way that you put the jacket into the sleeve. And you could change the faces, and they had these, like, it was like a boutique style thing. It was just so, it's gone. That's gone. It's gone forever.
It's
gone.
And
that's the last great Stone albums, the last great Rolling Stones album as well, Some Girls, 79. Anyway, go ahead.
This is some good old guy radio. I have an idea. I think, Robbie, can we pull this off? On the other side of the break, can we call the biggest Tom Petty fan we know, Mr. Scott Apple?
Maybe.
Can we? All right, Robin Josh, I'll be right back.
Jealousy, revenge, and a movie stunt gone horribly wrong. Hi, it's Justin from the 98 Rock Morning Show, and I'm not describing my weekend. I'm talking about the newest murder mystery from Die Laughing Productions, Halloween Whodunit. You've seen me play detective, a reality TV show judge, and even Marty McFly. Well, this time, I play M. Night Shyamalan, the world's most celebrated film director, working on his new horror project. When someone is killed on the movie set, I go from directing the actors and cameramen to directing a murder investigation. And as always, you can play a part in solving the crime too, and maybe even play one of the suspects. Be a part of the mayhem and hilarity for which Die Laughing Productions has become renowned. Halloween Whodunit? Don't miss it.
Debuting October 8th at the Bright Box Theater in Winchester. Tickets are on sale right now. For upcoming show dates and more info, please visit DieLaughingProductions.com.
Now, back to the Rob and Joe Show.
If you've listened to the Scott Apple music quizzes, I think we've done two traditional ones. He manages to think anybody's Tom Petty, except for Free Fallin'. Couldn't pick that out. Can we call him, Joe? Do you have his number?
Yeah, I have it. Robbie, I'll.
We're calling him. He's on Skype. Just tell him to pick up.
Okay. Oh, he's on?
Yeah.
We're Skyping into the great Scott Apple. Do you think that he knows that Tom Petty died?
We talked about it at work today.
Yeah. Hello?
Yeah. Hey, yeah. Scott, what's up, dude?
Yeah,
it's
here.
Rob and Joe. You're on the air.
Scott, thanks for joining us. We heard about Tom Petty dying today. As a huge fan, your thoughts?
Well, I wondered if I could still use him as a guess, you know, and I try to figure out what music is being played on the radio with Joe.
Can I give you the most Scott Apple thing that ever happened? It happened today. This just sums him up so perfectly. So you sent a link that said that Tom Petty was dead. Okay. You had reported as it happened. He was in a cardiac arrest. He was rushed to the hospital. He's on life support. That's what you sent me, that link from TMZ. Pretty credible source, right? I tell Scott Apple, Scott goes onto the internet, scours it. Now, by the way, I also went on the internet. 15 things are saying, reporting. CNN, I mean, major. Scott goes, it was a hoax. So, Scott, I then cling to this idea that Scott just gave me. Of course, he's wrong. We know what else is new, right? And I'm literally text to you guys, hey, it's a hoax.
Yeah, I was like, what's up, dude? I'm reading it right here.
Yes, but why the hell would I trust Scott fucking Apple over you? I don't. Why I did that is ridiculous. I mean, that's
why would you trust Scott Apple on anything Tom Petty?
On. Yes, that's all I can do is apologize. But I texted right in to you guys saying it was a hoax.
Wait, he really did die? He really did die?
You're amazing.
Why? I thought it was a hoax.
No. What? Please give us your favorite Tom Petty song.
I have no idea.
give us a guess.
I don't even have. I don't know what he sung. I mean, I honestly couldn't name you a single Tom Petty song right now.
If I give you part of the song, can you think you can finish the title?
It's possible.
Okay, Free.
Bird.
No.
Yes. No.
How about this one?
That's the
Scott.
Perfect answer.
You don't know how it blank.
Golly, how it goes?
You don't know how it goes. Don't do me like blank.
My mind just goes to dirty things at that point, so I have no idea.
Scott, you
running
don't,
down a
alley?
You don't have to live like a...
I don't know, beggar person, something.
That's close.
Mary Jane's last
kiss.
God, I'm trying to think. I mean, how about this? Don't come around here.
No more.
Yes. All right. Yes! I got one. Yes.
Tom Petty, huge Scott Apple, huge Tom Petty fan. Congrats.
Thank you.
While we have you on, you know, Tom Petty's a huge loss for Joe. Prince was for me, and Glenn Frey for Robbie. What musician dying would really crush you?
Lindsey Stirling.
I don't know who that is.
I don't know.
She's a violinist.
Other than Lindsey Stirling's mom would know who that is.
So
she does popular stuff.
Really, a lot of popular violin stuff that she does.
Yeah, she does.
Hey, who's the most famous violinist? Is it Charlie Daniels?
Oh golly, I don't know.
Who is it, Robbie? Do you have a guess? Do you have somebody to add?
No.
What's her name? Okay, Lindsey Stirling. I'm looking up right here.
You're looking her up. While you're doing that, I'm gonna give you my top five Tom Petty songs, which I tweeted out. Five is "Don't Do Me Like That." Sure. Four, The Waiting. Three, You Don't Know How It Feels. Two, Even the Losers. And the greatest Tom Petty song of all time is Breakdown.
All right, let's play Lindsey Stirling. I'm going to give you the songs, Joe, and you're going to finish. Master of
Puppets.
Nope. Ties.
Time and Space. Oh, okay.
Hold My
Hand.
Heart.
Oh,
I get that. Shatter
dreams.
Me.
Damn it. Shatter me.
Something wild. Her genre is dubstep. That's what it says right here.
She plays a violin and she does dubstep. Can you play any of her stuff? Yeah. Can you just?
I don't know. Robbie can, right? Or Marcus? I don't know if I can.
Robbie, can you just put her in your browser and let's hear it play the first thing that comes pops up?
Sure. Let me try it.
Roundtable Rival.
Gramps points out that his number one recently died.
That's right. Don Williams, great country singer, died. But that's actual country. It's not.
I was gonna say Chester from Linkin Park. Thought that
Chester
was
Bennington. Yeah.
Yes.
The current country is called Tight Jeans Country.
Gotcha. All right.
Luke Bryan.
Okay, here we go.
Scott. Okay, here we go. Yeah.
They'll probably play a commercial to YouTube.
All right, we'll listen to that too.
Yeah. This is, you're hearing Lindsey Stirling on the Rob and Joe Show. Scott Apple's hero.
Of course, the video doesn't
crush if she
the video
passed.
Won't play.
Man, I'm wet with anticipation.
Will you take off work if she dies?
Will you be okay? How much bereavement leave will you need?
Oh, well, if I can get out of work, you know, that's a different story. But
no, we're well aware of that. I did tell the story about. Hold on, here we go.
Stand back. This is going to rock.
I'm ready.
In the video, she's dressed like Belle from Beauty and the Beast.
Scott, are you fucking kidding me? Are you fucking kidding me? That's what you.
Well, that particular example is not exactly.
Let me play something I have a feeling Scott listens to regularly. Here you go. Ready?
All right. Oh, yeah.
Scott, you will sit in your house and listen to this.
The songs I listen to by her also have lyrics.
Okay. Stop. Yeah. Scott, have you ever made love to her music?
No.
So she, you could last a lot longer if you did.
Yeah. Who's on your lovemaking playlist?
Oh, golly. I don't even know. We asked Pandora to take care of that for us.
What do you put it on? Which Pandora station?
Lindsey Stirling station.
There's romantic stations, etc.
Lindsey Stirling Pandora. Let me see if that's a thing. I'm gonna look at that right now while we're on here.
Ask, what's the friggin' computer at your house? Ask Alexa who Lindsey Stirling is. Yeah. So Scott, how's the baby?
Baby is well. She's almost 7 months.
Okay.
And I tell you, Scott came into my office today. He currently can't stop talking about a certain subject. Now, I need to give you hints. Marcus is going to know because it's nerd porn.
Oh, God.
Scott can't, he can't stop talking about it. Okay.
I know the answer.
He doesn't care that no one has interest. Let me tell you what I equated it to. He came in here to show me something on his phone. And I said, Scott, do you know how many sports highlights I've shown you in my life? Do you know how many?
Zero.
You guys like, yeah, zero, yes. Do you know why? Because I know Scott doesn't care. But Scott does not. He has nothing for the listener. He's got nothing for the viewer. He only sees what's in his own mind. He doesn't care if I have interest in it. And what did he show, Robbie? What did he show me today?
Something from Star Trek Discovery.
You got it. He can't. I'm surprised he remembers his daughter's name. He did not. There weren't two sentences formed where he did not mention Star Trek Discovery.
Scott, I think if you can, you should change your daughter's name to Michael.
You know, I thought about it.
Because Michael is the female lead, the girl from
Walking Dead.
Walking Dead. Now, how many episodes has there been so far, Scott?
Three. There's three episodes.
Okay, and you've seen them all, I assume? Duh.
Of course.
Yes. Your review, quickly.
The first episode was weak. Second episode was the best so far. Pretty decent. Much better than Star Trek Enterprise.
What about the third?
Yeah. What would bother you more, if Lindsey Stirling died or they stopped making more Star Treks?
Oh, I know the answer to this. He would personally go kill Lindsey Stirling to make sure that this show doesn't
stop. We're talking about a human life is dead versus a TV show.
Well, I wouldn't go homicidal, but I would care more about Star Trek.
Good choice.
Good job, Scott.
Now, Marcus, have you also seen these shows?
I am. Yeah, I'm caught up. I watch it immediately as it's available.
And do you love it as much as Scott?
I am liking it quite a bit. It's very different than anything before. I will agree with Scott that, but then again, anything is better than Star Trek Enterprise.
Yeah, Scott, that was bad.
Scott, do you have any stories you'd like to talk about Joe? Has he been particularly annoying at work these past few months?
You know, Joe is one of the great constants of the universe, I would say. He's always a little bit annoying, but likable too.
Well, thank you, Scott. I feel the same way about you, except for the little bit part in front of the annoying.
What is the thing that Joe does that annoys you the most at work?
You know, he'll jump to a conclusion, and then I have to work him back towards his reasoning, and then he is like, okay, you know what? You're right. And then he agrees.
Let me tell you a little story about Scott.
I don't believe that at all.
So Scott and I make $1 bets. And we do this with everybody. You make a $1 bet if you don't agree. And if it gets to 10, you have to pay. Scott's the only one in the office that's ever had to pay. That's how often he's wrong. We're now up to $8 right now. Now, something happened the other day about HIPAA, whatever, doesn't matter. And Scott and I disagreed. And he said, do you want to bet on that? And I said, I don't. And then it ended up Scott was right. Okay. So Scott, I looked it up. I go, hey, actually, you are right. And Scott goes, yeah, I know I am. Like, he's still a dick. He can't, you know what I'm saying? Let me tell you another person in my life like this. So Rob Mayer and I had a fantasy football game last week. I was literally beating him the entire time. Never said a word. I did not say one word. Not a word. The last play, basically, of the last game, his quarterback throws a touchdown. I end up losing. He texts me. He tweets it. You see what I'm saying? I'm not this thing that you're accusing me of being. It's not me. I'm the opposite of that. I'm not that way even a little bit. I try to be humble in my victories, and I try to not rub people's noses and things. But Scott more than Rob. Rob's just having fun on it. But Scott, he finds a way to really crawl under your skin and pound on your most sensitive nerves.
I leave it alone after a bit.
Well, Scott, thank you for joining us. Anything, final words you want to say to the fans and family of Tom Petty?
My deepest condolences to your guy. Yeah.
That's your guy.
Well said.
I'm sure the Petty's will cherish those comments forever. Yes. Hey, are you available for the eulogy? They might want to fly you in.
No. I think they can do better.
I wish we could play a Tom Petty song and have Scott just talk it up just before he goes.
Can we do that?
Marcus, can you play one for us real quick?
Give me one moment, please.
Yeah.
Give me a little filler.
You remember this. You're going to talk it up. And just talk about, you know, his contributions maybe to society, to the music world.
He starts to sing, yeah. Just before he begins.
You can do it, Scott. Hit the post.
His charitable works.
Yeah, or you could talk about Lindsey Stirling if you like.
Yes, this guy's no Lindsey Stirling, but...
Or Star Trek.
All right.
Do we know what we're hearing, Marcus?
Yeah, you do.
Okay, go ahead, Scott.
Tom Petty. He's a great artist, a great man. Tragically lost.
Jeez.
All right, dude. All right, I'll see you tomorrow, bud.
All right, later.
Rob and Joe Show. Be right back.
Hello, my name is Rob Robinson, but you all know me as Gramps. If it weren't for me, there would be no Rob and Joe Show. If it weren't for my DNA, you'd be listening to the Rob and Ramin Show. Or worse, if I decided to stop at one offspring, you'd probably be listening to the Dan Ninen Show. So I'm speaking to you as someone who has provided you with top-notch entertainment for over half a decade. Become a Rob and Joe Show patron on Patreon. Go to patreon.com/Rob and Joe Show. Do it now so you don't miss out on the premium content and some other great stuff. I did it. So should you. Now back to the Rob and Joe Show.
Can I give my opinion on last week's show?
Yeah, do
yeah,
it.
Yeah.
May I get that in?
Well, actually, before you do that, can I play something?
Yeah, this is the clip I want to talk about.
All right, here we go. I have this clip at the ready. Here we go.
I feel like we're set up. I look forward to you having sex with my Once You Go White, You'll Still Be Tight condom. And perhaps you can have the Jim Amato track, a commercial playing it. Yeah, while you're doing it. Thank you, Jim, as always. You are crushing it. You know, our future producer, probably Jim Amato, once we trim all the fat here.
What do you mean by that, Rob?
Yeah, see, Rob is the one. Now, can I say, well, I'm not going to defend Rob, but Rob, this is the same thing that happened with 98 Rock when Rob pissed off 98 Rock. In an attempt to be funny, he goes too far. Yeah. And then when he does, right. So really, when he was saying that, the first thing I thought is that Robbie would be too busy. And then because of that, he would no longer be able to produce the show and Jim Amato would be. But then in order to be funny, he says, trim the fat. And Robbie's a sensitive guy. You can't, that's not going to fly with Robbie. Now you're going to have to deal with this. I can't get you out of this. It is what it is.
Well, do you think he's upset? Is that a weight comment, the fat? Or is it that he's unneeded?
Definitely participation. The latter, 100%. It's 100% the latter.
Okay. Well, I mean, I think in a perfect world, it's the Rob and Joe show with Rob Mayer, Joe Robinson, Robbie Robinson, and producer Jim Amato, right?
You're digging a deeper hole, Rob. What are you doing here?
That way we get the three of us. We get that, and you don't have to do all this pesky work you hate doing.
No, and he's kicking me out.
We can't have five people talking.
No, I completely just fired Marcus. He's a very busy man.
So that was a joke, but Robbie is the way he's talking right now, it's going to be.
It wasn't a joke. Jokes are funny.
Jeez. Okay.
Well, I thank you for saying it's impossible for me to say a bad joke. I take that as a compliment. Thank you. Are you really mad? I don't understand. What?
Yes. Trim the fat. What the fuck?
God, Robbie, I'm not going to defend it. I'm not. I don't want to take anybody's side. But here's the thing. This show, clearly we need to be able to joke around. By the way, they're not all going to be home runs, okay? That was more a compliment towards Jim Amato. You're right, it happened at your expense. Clearly you're not going to, we need you for the show, Robbie. I think you know that. You're an integral part.
You're saying it. I want to hear from fucking Rob. He's digging a deeper hole.
No, I
doubling,
mean.
Doubling down.
Yeah, I'm going to double down. That's fine.
That's a position you're going to take, Rob?
No, I've said my position many times. The show is not. It doesn't exist without you. It doesn't work.
Okay.
Completely different
well,
show.
And thank I don't, you for saying
and
that.
And I don't want to change that.
Thank you for saying that.
Okay. Well, that's
good.
I mean.
And also good radio. You create tension. It's not released. It's not funny. Perfect. If that's really a problem, Robbie, then let's talk about that off the air, not on the air. So we're having another argument.
No,
clearly.
You gotta understand, I also, hold on, Joe. I also speak very highly of Jim Amato when I am doing a character on the other show where I'm constantly implying that he is the greatest producer of all time.
Oh, so
and
you're,
I want him
you're
in
playing
every
a
part.
Character that's
no,
a
I'm saying no, I'm saying, but that's in my vernacular and psyche when I speak of Amato. That's just part. I speak in glowing terms.
I speak in glowing terms of Jim Amato, too. I don't know why that has to be at my expense.
Yeah, I kind of, here's the thing, and I've said this before, is that we can make jokes, but don't shit on the brand. So I kind of understand where Robbie's coming from. You don't shit on the brand because then they're like, oh, wait a minute. It's almost, although you think about your favorite show of all time, Robbie, his producer who's been with him for 28 years, he acts like he's incompetent.
Yes.
So I'm not quite sure. I don't like, it's almost like when two comics get into an argument and somebody says, well, that you're not funny. That's where it gets dangerous because now all of a sudden I go, wait a minute, is this thing we're listening to? It's not funny. Right. So that's, I always think that's a place you don't go. So maybe this is the place that we don't go. He doesn't go with you. I get it, but it's not the same as saying something isn't funny. That changes the whole dynamic. In my opinion.
I don't care if you guys joke that, let us make the jokes before. That's happened many times. I don't take offense to that. I take offense to the fact that he implied that I'm extraneous and unneeded.
Okay. Well, that clearly is.
It was an aside, a throwaway line. I understand if that bothers you.
You've never done it before, Rob. It cut deep.
Okay. Well, what do you think I meant?
I don't know. That's why I asked. That's why I brought it up.
Okay. I meant nothing.
Let's do another 20 minutes of this.
The thought was in your head, though. It came out of your
head. The thing is that when you're in, Howard Stern talks about this too, when you're on live radio, and we are live right now, you're not writing shit down. Your things pop off the top of your head. And sometimes in order to try to grab something funny, you fuck up. That happens. I believe I've heard Rob, no lie, 50 times mention how important you are to this show. To grab that and make it awkward. By the way, I'm having problems with both sides. But if it's truly made you uncomfortable or you truly were angry, to do this on the air, God, I hate this. Needs to be infrequent. This thing where we challenge each other and we have real arguments. It needs to be infrequent, in my opinion. It does.
I didn't think about it. I haven't thought about it since because it
didn't
was
mean
such
anything.
A flippant
right.
aside that I didn't. Look, I understand that if we're taking that literally and I'm saying that, if I say it now, for example, then that takes on a whole other meaning. But it's just fine. It was a shitty joke that I said just flippantly.
Is it because that sound room is so small? Is that what this problem is? That's what created all this?
What are they saying in the chat room? That's what I'm curious about.
They're saying nothing. They're saying,
they're
riveted.
It's uncomfortable silence.
Well, I want to know about the backtrack because you threw me under the bus, motherfucker.
When was that?
His excuse was talking about Robbie. He's talking about me.
Now you're in a fight with Marcus.
What the fuck?
I haven't given a second. By the way, you know who mentioned the idea of Jim doing some stuff for us? It was Robbie's idea. So this is not, I hadn't. That you planted that idea. You said that might be happening, that he'd be taking over some stuff.
Before
right?
the show
Did
started,
I
was so nice to you about New Orleans and like maybe we hang out and all that. And I try to help out. I've been talking to you. We've been friendly. I came down to Connecticut. Now look, you're throwing me out.
What? From something you don't want to do. I don't. If why would you do this if we? If we didn't need you,
you threw the fat baby out with the bathwater. What's the deal?
You're not angry. I know that.
Talk about
Robbie. You're very, very, very important. You're actually the most important component of getting this show out there to the public.
I'm hearing this from you and I really thought Rob was having those thoughts. That's what it came across as, not as a joke. So if you didn't mean it that way, Rob, I accept that.
Why would you not say, ask me about that if you thought, because you saved it for the air.
Yes.
Okay.
I didn't mean it that way. And I apologize for coming across that way. And I also don't actually have a problem with you bringing it up on the air. I mean, it does piss me off for a second. But I mean, maybe it's good radio. But I mean.
Well, I guess we'll find out what people think.
But you did. I didn't make this up. You did mention about Amato doing some stuff for us, correct?
Yeah, again, this is not I'm not saying anything negative about Jim Amato. I've touted him many, many times. I think he's a terrific contributor to the show. I'm just talking about your feelings about my part of the show. That's all I'm talking about.
I do know this, as good as Robbie is, let's face it. I don't really know Jim Amato, but he's got to have thicker skin. Agreed?
Oh, 100% he does.
And I've been on record 1,000 times. I don't like the way that the show, the audio and how we have to do it and how we have to, you have to go over it to make sure it's fine and it takes longer to put up. That's no mystery. So, that's not what you're bringing to the table for this. That's not what I'll miss if we fix that.
Understood.
What you bring to the table is just your personality and the relationships and your Robbieisms. I mean, look, to be honest, our best of are 40% you're fucking shit. You know, at least, right?
Okay. Okay, so, I'm accepting okay. what you're saying as the truth, and that you didn't really truly have those thoughts. I'm accepting that, Rob. Thank you.
Fair enough. I apologize. But I do not apologize for saying that I beat Joe and making a big deal out of it and screenshotting it.
Yes, and by the way, I also don't care. I seriously don't. I don't. I was basically trying to show the differences between you and I and Scott Apple. You're a lot like Scott Apple, actually, one thing I found out. You're like Scott Apple, but you know things about music and sports.
All right, wrap up this show, Rob, so we can watch Redskins.
I will be in New Orleans opening up the Mike O'Mara Show live experience at the House of Blues, correct, Marcus?
Yes, absolutely. It's going to be a great show.
I will be part of the show. I'm doing some stand-up. I will buy you a drink, Marcus.
I look forward to it, and I'll buy you one.
I won't be there.
Deal. You were also invited, Joe. You couldn't make it, but
yeah, we have gigantic announcements to make. Hopefully by next week. Agreed. It'll be next week. Yes. We'll be able to do that.
We do. But I feel like there's some pressure on me, right? To be the ambassador of the Rob and Joe Show. I won't play this last portion of this show, but I mean, I have Seriously. To sort of, you know, reach out to people and can get some new fans, right? This is my responsibility.
There's meet and greets. There's other events going on where the fans are getting together at various venues around the city through the weekend. So not just you opening up, but this is your opportunity to really spread the love and the knowledge that Rob and Joe Show exists.
Now, Marcus, are you going to be at the meet and greets? Are you a celebrity there?
I am. I'm going to be pushing the Rob and Joe Show and Omericast.
So I won't shit on you being a celebrity then, since you just said you were going to be pushing our show.
Absolutely, of course.
Is it weird if I charge money for pictures?
I personally think you should bring the condoms and sell them. You will sell out of the condoms if you bring them to the show. I guarantee it.
All right. Well, then I will do that. I'll definitely tell that joke then, and then I will sell condoms. You know, a great idea, Chris.
Someone in chat tonight is called Condom Inventory. I think it's Captain Cupcake.
Also have an announcement. We talked about this on the bonus show, but I will finally be meeting in person the great Mac Berkson. I will be at the Orlando Improv October 12th through the 15th. Mac lives in Jacksonville. He's going to make the drive over. We're going to hang out, have some beers. He's going to watch me do comedy. We're going to be Twice. In a room full of black people. Black headliner, Tony Roberts, probably all black crowd, and me and Mac, and I can't wait. And
let's report back on the bonus show. You have to become a Patreon if you want to hear about that one-on-one.
Well, I mean, I don't know about all that. We'll save some things. We also have a Tom Arnold update on the bonus show, a little nugget. He did not, by the way, have a one-man show. We were wrong. He had a two-person show, but that gets explained all. Plus a little thing that he did that's sort of funny. Check out the bonus show. We just did a new one. It's up. It'll be up soon. And fuck you, Jim Amato. You're the worst. We would never want your part. I love you, Jim. Love you, Robbie. Love you more. Joe, Marcus, hail to the Redskins. Let's get a victory later.
All right, later.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.